Hello, dreamers. This is Janine.
And Stephanie.
And welcome to the Course of Course podcast number 37. It's been 19 days since we last recorded, and it's kind of a big day because tomorrow is Stephanie's birthday.
Yay!
How exciting!
Yes!
So it's like a special day for you?
I think so.
I know so.
Of course it is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how it's going to unfold yet. I just kind of opened up my evening. I don't need to go to a garden since it's getting dark so early, and now all kinds of possibilities are there.
Interesting thing about birthdays, because the anniversary of our shooting through the birth canal and coming back to Crazy Planet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which I knew I didn't want to come back to.
Me neither. We both were like, I don't think so. And I really do believe that I was pushed out. It's like, you just got to go. Like, I was under the gun and I was like, I'm staying in here. And they're like, you have to do this.
Yeah. Like you said before, we're sisters and I didn't want to go. So I got to hold on longer, 10 days longer than you.
That's right. I was pushed out sooner. It's like we're 14 twins, but we're 14 days behind each other.
Yeah.
You're 14 days behind me, which makes me older and wiser.
You can be older.
That hurt.
I'll be the baby.
Yeah, that's right. You're always going to be the younger one. How nice for you.
Silly, silly.
Yes. So we've had a lot of October birthdays from people we know.
We have too.
October's a bit of a cluster for us in terms of birthdays. It's Rocktober, exactly. Mm-hmm. I've always loved fall anyway. I'm sure having a birthday in this month is one of the reasons why I loved it. I find it fascinating that we're coming up on the Halloween season.
Mm.
And Halloween has taken on a whole different kind of view for me since learning about the course. Because the whole thing of skeletons and scary and spooky just seems so stupid.
Ghosts and goblins.
Well, you know, people go to haunted mortuaries. Houses and, and graveyards.
I never did that stuff. Never.
It's all crazy made up stuff. And I was watching, I think it was a sci-fi channel, and they had these haunted America and like haunted cities and stuff.
Ghostbuster kind of things like you used to do.
Yeah, and I thought, why are people all that interested in this? Even when I was a practicing academic parapsychologist, I never really was into that part of it. Just always, I knew innately it was just stupid.
We just thought it was some kind of poltergeistic energy or something, like someone who was upset that was expressing themselves.
Well, I never felt it was all that scary.
I
mean, some people just freaked out about it, and I'm like, whatever.
Well, I don't see the M. Night Shyamalan, or excuse me if I butchered your name.
Is he still making movies?
I don't know. He's got a new one coming out.
Oh,
in fact, James McAvoy is going to be in it, Mr. Hottie Patati.
That makes you happy.
Oh, yeah. Although I won't go, because it'll probably be scary.
Yeah, I avoid all that. Like, I don't understand. I don't understand the whole idea behind people saying, yes, let's go to a scary movie. But I think it's just sometimes we get bored as humans, maybe, and we need to feel alive more. So feeling scared and stuff is like getting, I don't know, in touch with our baser emotions.
I think that Hollywood has definitely driven it a lot in the last few years. When there was that handheld camera movie through the Blair Witch Project, that kind of opened the door, and then there's just been bam, like Jason Blum and all these developing directors and producers have, I mean, look at Scream Queens. That's the guy who did Glee, you know, and some of the other ones.
He also does that American Horror Story.
Yeah, like I don't watch any of that stuff.
Neither do I. I like history and reality TV. If I could watch something about Abraham Lincoln and the Real Housewives, then I'm all over it. I'm not exactly a high class TV viewer.
I thought of you today when Thomas Jefferson at Charlottesville University of Virginia at Charlottesville found his old chemistry lab.
Nice.
That was hidden underground with a brick wall all around it, and they're hoping they'll learn a lot more about what he was working on.
I didn't read about that. That's good to know.
Yeah.
I'll have to check that out.
It's weird when we think of past or future.
Because it's all sort of happening at once, but it's like these snapshots in time.
I thought it's all a dream, just how complex it seems.
Well, obviously we're fans of podcasts because we create them, but I love the Thomas Jefferson Hour podcast.
I've been listening to that forever.
Probably for like 10 years. I don't know. It's gone on forever, but I just find it so charming and lovely because it's somebody, Clay Jenkinson, who is a scholar and academic. He's in, I think, North Dakota, South Dakota, one of the Dakotas.
Hmm.
And he does this pretty much every week where he takes on the persona of Thomas Jefferson. Hmm. And he talks about topics that occurred during his lifetime. Because I'm always so interested in history anyway, it was like a perfect marriage, a podcast and history. But we have been talking about this great podcast, which is funny and enjoyable. And that's the Pete Holmes You Made It Weird podcast.
Yes.
And he had a great guest on last week.
Yeah, Elizabeth Gilbert. I obsessed over that episode. I listened to it like 3 times.
And she's the author of?
Eat, Pray, Love.
Eat, Pray, Love. Which we love the book, love the movie, and love her. She actually wrote, I think the movie came on, it was in a bar in New York City. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
And
Coyote Ugly. She wrote an article about that bar, and uh-huh. That's sort of what's launched her to this whole fame and fortune thing. Because that was the first time.
Really?
Yeah.
She wrote a screenplay that got made before her book came out?
She wrote an article in which the screenplay was based.
Oh, I see.
And then the movie came out.
Interesting.
Yeah, a little backstory there.
Ha, ha,
yeah, she was a legit writer.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
She had gravitas.
Her latest book has to do with creating art. And that's why I listened to it over and over. And I wanted to share some of those things.
Yeah, go right ahead.
She was talking about family and how we often want to change them, save them, rescue them. And in terms of her parents as the example she gave, realizing that it's none of her business. It's their relationship.
I love that part of it.
Yeah. It gave me a little bit of freedom around not feeling guilty about separating myself from my sister. I mean, I know that we are all from the one mind. I know that it's all love. Like, I get the intellectual part, but the practical part is like, she's on her own journey and it's a crazy train. And I don't have to put up with it or be around it or invite it or even feel guilty about putting a little space between me and it. And there's no fixing that I need to do. There's mm-hmm. no rescuing I need to do. It's her journey, and I was so thankful.
Elizabeth Gilbert, when she was talking to Pete Holmes on this podcast, was saying that she realized one day she just sort of woke up and thought, you know, it's not my business what my parents' relationship is.
Yeah.
They can do whatever they want. That's their business. That's not my business. And she was saying it was like transformational for her.
Yeah, like why would parents have a kid to have the kid fix their relationship? It's right. Not even logical.
Correct. But it's funny how we as children want to affect, change, help, mend relationships with our parents.
And with people in the world. Mm-hmm. I think that is part of the ego, part of the winning formula is we want to please and be liked and have peace, which I think is a good thing. Peace.
I think Elizabeth Gilbert was so articulate in being able to express very clearly stuff that you listen to it and go, oh, got it.
Yeah. Here's some more nuggets. She was saying, one of her therapists had mentioned, become a scientist of your own experience. Have a clipboard, kind of stand back and be like, oh, the species seems to be feeling a little agitated here.
I think she said something about be an anthropologist.
Yes.
Yeah.
An anthropologist, scientist. Yeah. And she said that we're basically monkeys with supercomputer brains.
Well, that's true.
And that her aunt Wally.
My ex-boyfriends are all monkeys.
We always called them roundheads.
Well, one of them was, because he legitimately had a round head.
Her aunt Lolly was saying her biggest gold medal of advice she could give is that you have to push against despair. Like, it's always going to kind of be shitty and despairing out there.
Yeah, you have to just
keep
pushing.
And you just have to push against it. I found that episode to be really, really key.
I love the fact that this is coming through Pete Holmes, who is a comedian in his own right. And I've listened to quite a few of his stand-up routines on XM Radio because there's a Raw Dog Comedy channel.
Cool.
So every time he comes on, I like squee. I'm so excited because he means something to me now and not because of his comedy.
Right.
He means something to me.
He talks about God.
Because he talks about God. Because at the end of every podcast, he asks his interviewees what they think about God. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not preachy about it, and he's not all religiously about it, even though he came from a very religious kind of upbringing.
Yes.
I feel like he, in some way, is my spirit animal. Except he's not an animal, because I don't know, I appreciate what he provides so much.
Uh-huh.
And the meaning of it really doesn't have anything to do with comedy.
It's nourishing on a different level.
Yeah. He's just coming through with that kind of like face of it.
They were talking about another guy, Rob Bell.
Rob Bell, yes. Have so you Rob Bell to any is of huge his? With Oprah Winfrey. He's been on Oprah Winfrey's Super Soul Sunday a number of times.
Aha. Uh-huh. Is he related to Kristen Bell, the actress? No, like the brother?
I don't
or the,
think so.
Okay. So I started listening to him, and then he was doing one on forgiveness. So I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm all over that one. But his version of forgiveness was nothing like what our version of forgiveness was. It was a little hard to sit through it, but I thought, you know what? This is an opportunity for forgiveness. Let's just see if there's any jewels here.
So it's a forgiveness opportunity when listening to forgiveness.
Yes.
Perfect.
And he basically said that people tend to keep a point system. You know, I did really great here, therefore I should get a promotion. Or right. I took care of your kid, now you got to take care of mine or right. whatever, mm-hmm. you know. And I don't really think that way. He also said that people hold evidence and want revenge. I don't really think that way either.
He's coming from a different, I mean, I can see that on some like baser level. I think he's probably talking to more of a mass kind of
the
audience.
Oprah, now that you mentioned the Oprah.
Yeah.
That is mass.
And I do find it interesting that we are all at different levels of understanding this and not saying that one level is higher than another. Mm-hmm. It's just we all come at this from different perspectives. And when I hear these people, I think we have talked about this before where, you know, we first came into like our spiritual maturity, I guess, through Edgar Cayce and then through the Abraham Hicks material. And now we landed on the course. Some people are just coming in different ways. I'm not the same person I was when I was studying Edgar Cayce. You know, I mean, we just kind of evolve, I guess.
Yeah.
And there are still people who are, you know, just beginning this journey. And it just takes a while. It took a while for me to start acquiring the library and the skill set mm-hmm. to be able to embrace the course. Because it's not hard, as we talked about before, but it is different and you really have to work it. And I got to tell you, I will admit that I probably fail every day at something with the course. Like I keep trying to get there. I'm just not there yet. That's okay. It's like working through everyday experiences in Crazy Planet. And because I'm kind of in a different work experience than you, I'm around hundreds of people every day. Imagine being in that soup and trying to like, you know, rise to the top every day. It could be a challenge.
Yeah, or don't try to rise, just be.
Right, so even just being sometimes can be challenging as well because there's a lot of distractions. So it's trying to figure out and find your own place and your own stability in a crazy world that isn't really that stable and not be affected too much by everything that's coming at us. It's not just work stuff, but hearing about the stock market or politics or is all this distraction that's happening constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to focus on what you need to focus on and mm-hmm. not get pulled into the ego part of it.
I think that's why having quiet time is important to just help ground and center and just give it all over.
One of the joys I have is I can work from home at least a day a week.
You're so lucky.
Which is nice. So I'm working from home tomorrow. At the time of this podcast. So it's just so nice to kind of not have all that going on around me so I can really focus. But I find it fascinating that when I do work at home, I actually work harder because I feel like I have to sort of be on my laptop all the time. Like I don't feel comfortable kind of walking away and going to the store or whatever.
Oh.
Because I feel like I want people to know that I'm committed and working.
Sure.
Clearly, that's my own mind stuff.
Can you get your laundry done, though, I hope?
Certainly, I could do that.
Good.
Yeah, but I've already done that.
Oh, okay.
I did on Sunday. I'm sure the viewers are, I mean, the listeners are thrilled hearing this minutia, but.
When you're single, you got to manage every little detail because there's nobody else to help.
Speaking of being single, you know, I have been in a quasi-relationship for quite some time, in a special relationship, let's face it. And I was very confronted by it this weekend. We went out and he bought a car. And so I went with him. And we had this little conversation about something. And then he went to talk to the finance people. He came back out. And the finance lady walked over and said, Janine, we're ready now. And I was like, oh, okay. I said, why did she say that? How did she know my name? And he said, oh, I told her that. I said, you know, that woman out there, my friend. And I was like, what? Did you just say? You just called me your friend? I thought, okay, I have to work through this one. Is that bad?
I don't know.
It's a special relationship. We are friends.
Yeah, I mean, so you wanted him to say girlfriend.
Yeah, but then I thought, why? I don't know. It stopped me in my tracks. I had to really think this one through.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm clearly his girlfriend in a special relationship perspective.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's clearly my boyfriend. But it really made me stop and go, hold on one second. What's happening here? So that's the kind of gifts I think the course has given me.
Wow.
Where I didn't immediately go into that, what? You know, that crazy girlfriend thing. Like, what are you talking about? We've been together for a long time. And I thought, you know, I think I'm okay with this.
In a way, isn't it kind of cool to be friends?
It's
like be friends and lovers.
It's freeing, I think.
Uh-huh.
But there was that immediate ego hit.
Yeah.
Like, wait a minute. What did he just say? You know?
It's like, thank you for sharing, Mr. Ego.
But the weird thing is, being a friend is so much more valuable than being a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been a girlfriend many times. And I gotta say, being a friend is so much more important. I've had this kind of ex-boyfriend in Northern California who I just absolutely adore. And I am so grateful that we were able to continue this friendship that is so special to me. If we had just kind of parted ways and I got all in my ego head and was like, oh no, we're not boyfriend and girlfriend anymore, I can't talk to you, I would have lost out on so much. So that, you know, things like that are coming to me now. Like this whole concept of girlfriend is a myth. It's just, it doesn't exist. You know, like all this stuff is sort of kind of falling away from me.
This is really good for me to hear too.
But it's a little challenging though, because I'm so used to thinking in these older kind of archaic terms.
Yeah.
Of
how it's got to look.
Girlfriend. Yeah.
What it's called.
And plus I have a friend who's going through this relationship thing with somebody in another country. It's a whole different game.
It feels like it's all kind of ooey gooey. Like there's just stuff all the time brewing.
And it is. And I think Gary Renard had mentioned when we were at a talk in Venice at the bookstore. Mystic Journeys bookstore. He had said something about, you know, life just is like that. It's like that for everybody. Sometimes it's going to be great. Sometimes it's not going to be great. And that's just how it is.
In the text, it was saying about how there's always going to be the shadow. Like, it's always going to be kind of icky.
Yeah, because this isn't God. We're in this weird dream.
False world.
So how in the world could this be true and perfect and beautiful? Because it's not.
Well, as icky and icky as it is out there, I still am trying to like be joy and love. And I feel like at this part in the workbook, it's really coming together into that oneness. I think it's 357.
Okay, so you're really close.
Yeah, I'm getting there. I'm getting cooked.
So I would say what, first week of November, maybe you'd be through it?
I have no idea. I never think ahead like that.
Well, 365, you're at 357.
No, but I'm traveling a little bit. And
that's true.
But I wanted to read something from one of them. Yeah, so it's the What Am I? That's the section.
Mm-hmm.
I am God's son, complete and healed and whole, shining in the reflection of his love. That kind of like sums it up. In me is love perfected, fear impossible, and joy established. I just love that. And then it goes into, ours are the eyes through which Christ's vision sees a world redeemed from every thought of sin. Ours are the ears that hear the voice of God proclaim that world as sinless. And ours the minds which join together as we bless the world. And from the oneness that we have attained, we call to our brothers, asking them to share our peace and consummate our joy.
I'm stunned by how precise the course lessons are provided to us and how amazing Jesus is in being able to get those words down through Helen to be that succinct. What I don't like is a lot of verbose kind of talking about stuff, but I really do think that the lesson is so clear.
Yeah, it paints the picture. It pulls all the pieces together. So instead of the separation, it really is the oneness.
I think the workbook is more precise to me than the actual course book. I find the course book to be a lot of words, but the workbook is like, okay, here it is. Here's your lesson for today.
I think it really does undo the mind. So if we apply and do the workbook, you listen to the audio text.
Oh, yeah.
Over and over. So
exactly.
You know,
Jim Stewart?
Yeah.
Love him.
I was somewhere on the Facebook looking at one of the Miracles pages, and someone was talking about how much she loved his voice, too. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yay.
It's like you get to a point where it's like he's a part of you because you can hear the voice now. I do want to give a shout out to Mike Lemieux. I know we talk about him a lot just because we adore him. But he puts great and consistent text out there through Twitter. I shouldn't say text. Tweets out there through Twitter.
And Facebook. He's all over Facebook.
Right. it's so nice when I look at my Twitter feed and see those in there. I stop every time and read it. Thank you, Mike. Because it's a nice reminder, especially during a busy, hectic work day, mm-hmm. to go, oh, right, you're exactly right.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I do appreciate that. And we were talking about Alexander Marchand on his website. He has a video out there. A friend of mine was talking about reading The Universe is Virtual today. Mm. So it's starting to really, I know for us.
Like out of the blue without you bringing it up?
Out of the blue without me bringing it up. That's what I'm saying. I think through us, we've been able to reach a few people to get them to start being exposed to Alex's work.
Wow.
So I'm hoping that other people can then pay it forward.
That's awesome.
And talk to their friends and get them interested.
Yeah. In the booth, we had a voice record this week in the whole control room. I was passing around my iPad. Look at his artwork. And some of the guys in the room are writing down because, you know, I'm in animation. He's a comic author. And like, if you guys are into science and metaphysics and, you know, you should check this out.
Yeah. That's great. I mean, we've loved his work for a while. So I hope more people can go and flock to that.
Let's mention the charms, the forgiveness charms and the happiness charms. Or I forgot what the other one was. The Holy Spirit charm?
I think it was.
Anyway, sorry. Holy Spirit. You can go to his website and you can order them. The charms are back for people who want to have those.
That's great. And you know what I think is so fantastic about 2015 is people like Mike and Alex can get product out there and not have to go through like these bigger manufacturers and wait for big publishers to get out there.
Power to the people.
I think it's a really nice kind of invitation to those listeners and anyone else out there to kind of look at, is it Create Space or Creative Space or something like that? It's owned by Amazon, to self-publish. If you have work that you would like to get out there, it's now becoming so much easier and maybe more profitable to go that route.
Yeah, if you want to write a book, you can sell it that way, or jewelry or any kind of anything that maybe reminds people about the course. Mm-hmm. And then podcasts are free.
I think podcasts to me have revolutionized my life.
Yeah, websites.
I think blogs are great. Blogs are kind of, to me, like a little bite. They're like, you know what I mean? It's hard to get a whole lot of stuff into a blog.
Yeah.
Because by nature, they're sort of meant to be smaller diary type things. But I think podcasts are certainly more.
I was just flashing on P. Holmes when his manager said, why would you want to do a podcast? There's already a bunch of comedians out there doing that. And he's like, because it'd be with me.
Exactly.
So it's like, if you've got that kind of point of view that's different than what's already being done, there's room for everybody.
Absolutely. And I think just because there's a million out there doesn't mean that you shouldn't produce something that has merit. And for me, and I listen to so many of these comedy podcasts, and I still do, but the Pete Holmes one to me is the gold standard, just because it brings together humor and the course. He's not really overtly talking about the course, but it's so deep and rich in there. I mean, he clearly has a relationship with God and Jesus.
And seeks peace and forgiveness. Yes,
and is open to people like Elizabeth Gilbert to be on a comedy podcast. Clearly, she's not a comedian.
Right, yeah.
So it's just nice to have that outlet.
Definitely.
I just think that from the podcast universe, there's quite a few gems out there. It just takes a while to find them.
Okay. So back to Elizabeth Gilbert being a guest on the show when she was promoting her new book. It's about creativity. So she was saying it's giving you the license to create no matter what it is that you want to create without any guilt or without any fear of it's not going to be good enough. Like, who cares what everybody else thinks? It's your point of view. So just encouraging people, if you're feeling a little stuck, maybe check out her new book.
I agree. I think I'm going to go download it. Hopefully it's available via iTunes or...
I bet it is. Audiobook. That's what I want.
Oh, yeah, the audiobook. I love audiobooks. They're fantastic. They're like podcasts, only not.
Yes.
It's like they're still talking to us, which is fair enough. All right. Well, I'm so excited because your birthday's coming up.
Yes, and I'm going to New York.
Going to New York. And what are you going to do in New York? Can you share with
listeners? I can. We have our Peanuts movie coming out. It's an animated movie by Blue Sky Studios, and the animation looks gorgeous. And it's the first time since the 1960s since anyone's had the opportunity to do this. So we're very proud.
I'm so looking forward to that because growing up, those Peanuts cartoons, like Christmas and Thanksgiving and Halloween.
Oh, huge. Classic.
Love them.
November 6th in theaters. There's
US-wide or it's probably is that day everywhere and worldwide?
I think it's worldwide.
Oh, wow. That's big. So you're going to the East Coast to visit your mom and then you're going to the premiere, right?
To the crew screening and party.
I see.
The premiere will be in Los Angeles.
Oh, it will.
I'm not going to say when because we don't need to have a bunch of people show
up. Just show up. You know, random Peanuts. No,
I think people are going to be busting the door for Star Wars more than they are going to be for Peanuts.
Does Star Wars open on the same day?
No, but it's coming up and they've sold out of tickets.
Happy birthday, Stephanie. For all of our listeners, thank you very much for hanging in there with us. This is our 37th podcast. We'll be back next time. We'll be back for the 38th in a few weeks. And we can't wait to talk to you again. Thanks again, everyone.
Good night.